Hi, I'm Tim Jablonski. I'm product director at eValue. I'm joined by Bruce Moss, the founder of eValue, and we're sitting here today to talk about investment pathways. So the FCA put out a couple of policy statements last year, introducing and outlining the requirements around investment pathways, requirements on how the providers should offer them, how they should communicate them to the consumers, and also a policy statement on how the governance structure should work. So setting up the IGCs, their independent governance committees, and the GAAs that oversee the governance of the investment pathways for the providers. Now, Bruce, I just wondered if you could provide a summary of the key points in the FCA's policy statements and who they affect and what people ought to be doing about them, I guess.
Well, in a nutshell, yes. Well, basically, it's a pretty... it looks on the face of it quite innocuous, and the FCA have given a very short time frame for implementing it, but it is actually very major in terms of its implications. The FCA would be concerned about the number of people who on a non-advised basis were ending up in cash, which they regard, and I think most people would agree with this, as inappropriate if you're looking to use drawdown for anything other than a short-term cash out. So they came up with four pathways. The first one is I want to stay invested for more than 5 years. The second one is that I want to buy an annuity in the next 5 years. I want to start drawing an income using drawdown. That's the pathway three. And pathway four is I just want to cash out in the next 4 years. On the surface, it looks pretty simple. And basically what product providers are being asked to do is to pick a fund or pick a solution and have that as a default for somebody who, a non-advised customer seeking to do drawdown. They're also required to do things like provide sufficient information for a consumer to decide whether or not it's an appropriate thing for them to buy, and that involves also communicating risk. And there endeth it, really. I mean, probably, Tim, you may want to sort of butt in if I've left anything significant out, but I think that's the essence of it in a nutshell. The problem is that beneath all of that lurks a whole sea of problems. And drawdown is one of those things which, Tim and I have often discussed, is a disaster waiting to happen. And I think the FCA have taken a tentative step to actually try and address some of the issues. But it's not the end of the story, and there's going to be a lot of, I predict, unless we're careful, tears and further measures that the FCA will need to take. Fundamental problem is that whilst they've come up with four objectives, the objectives are so broad that actually it's very difficult to say anything very meaningful about risk. And we also have to move away from the concept of risk being essentially about volatility of the underlying investment. The reality is it's about delivering an objective, and what people will judge it on is whether or not it delivered that objective. So two things need to happen. One is you need to define quite clearly what the objective is, and the second thing is you need to say what is the risk associated with that objective. In other words, if I'm looking to provide myself with an income for life, what is the income? Is it supposed to be inflation linked? Is it just to fill in a gap till my state pension starts? Is it a level income? What sort of income am I looking to have? What's the shape of my income? And then the second question is, well, what's the risk of that not happening? And none of that's really addressed by the pathways. And unless that is addressed, I think we're storing up some major problems.
Yeah, so what you're saying, Bruce, is unless they're able to define more clearly what the consumer's objective is, there's no good way of measuring whether or not it's appropriate for that objective. Is that what you're...
That's exactly what I'm saying. I think also I've skipped over one thing which is quite important, and that is that our product providers are required to do this based on the characteristics of the sort of people that are buying investment pathway, buying drawdown on a non-advised basis.
How do they find that out?
Well, it's very difficult because if they look at their customer base, they won't have done a risk profile because they basically came in on a non-advised basis. So they will have no idea of their risk. Mm. They predominantly possibly invested in cash. Probably all they will know about, they won't know anything about their wealth. So probably what all they will know is what age they were when they actually first became a non-advised customer. Yeah. That's probably the only information they have. So they've got to find out quite a lot about their customer base, first of all, to even start to think about what, you know, they should be offering as a pathway. But I think, you know, as I said before, I think there are some real serious problems here. Now, what the FCA have done is made a first tentative step. I think the onus is on product providers to recognize the danger that non-advised retirees face through using drawdown. It's critical that if they put somebody into a pathway for delivering an income, which is sort of option three, pathway three, I want to draw an income live on that for the rest of my life. Well, what's a sustainable income? How much income should I be taking? People will be very tempted, you know, just to take whatever they think. And of course, when it runs out of money, you know, who's to blame?
Yes. So, you know, I might be invested in a fund that's cautious, I guess. So I'm in a cautious fund, but if I take out, you know, 7% each year, you know, is that a cautious investment?
Absolutely not. It's high risk because you're taking out way more than the fund looks able to provide. But if you did want to take out 7%, I'm not saying you could take out 7%, but if you did want to take out 7%, you shouldn't be buying a cautious fund. You should be upping the amount of risk that you're prepared to take. But you need to understand that you're taking that risk in order to achieve that level of income, that higher level of income.
Yeah. I guess the provider needs to communicate these things to sort of an audience that isn't potentially particularly sophisticated, or at least particularly not knowledgeable about pensions.
No.
Have you got any idea how they might do that? How do you engage with people who are difficult to engage with and communicate in that way?
That's a $64,000 question. I mean, I think the answer is in a number of ways. You have to communicate in a variety of different ways. But, you know, given the timescale of the 1st of August to implement all of this, I think the best that we can hope for is that providers recognize the issue and recognize that they need to make some attempt to create realistic expectations from customers about A, the amount of risk that they're taking and what the likely outcomes are going to be. Because I think if they don't, they really are storing up major problems. There's no question that over time, communications to the non-advised will have to improve. Combination of modeling tools, combination of ready reckoners. There's a raft of things that can be done. And I think one of the key things, and certainly this is recognized by the FCA, is that they want to have an annual review of people and a statement issued annually. But on that statement, I think it needs to give some indication of what performance has been achieved and what that means for the sort of income that can be drawn in the future, or whatever the particular pathway is seeking to do. There needs to be a restatement of what the realistic outcome might be.
Yeah, there's potentially a whole subject on communication that sits a little bit outside of the conversation we have on how do you measure effective communication. You know, how do you go about that? It's not really what we want to talk about here, but, you know, how can you measure it? Because the ultimate measure is, well, what does someone do about it? What do they understand and therefore act upon?
Well, you have to communicate, otherwise they can't act upon it. So, I mean, I think we have been engaged on trying to help consumers understand this through a number of modeling tools and approaches. But ultimately, I think people either will need to get ongoing advice, or if they're non-advised, they will need to use tools and information that's made available to them. But I think product providers, even if they didn't make tools available on an ongoing basis to the non-advised, they need to have a regular statement of this is how your investment is doing and this is what it means in terms of the expectations that you might hope to achieve. Because if you don't do that, I think you will end up in a place where, you know, a few years down the road, people will turn around and say, this just hasn't delivered for me. And I'm you know, particularly if you're using drawdown to provide an income in retirement, you could well find an awful lot of retirees in a few years' time, particularly if you have a downturn in the market, turning around saying, you know, basically I'm running out of money to live on. I'm in poverty and struggling, which I didn't think I would be.
Yeah.
And we all know that FOS has a great ability to look after the consumer. That's what it's there to do. And I wouldn't want to be on the receiving end of that.
No, so I don't know. Are you predicting that in the not too distant future there could be some cases brought that you know, might lead to
I have no doubt. I have absolutely no doubt that there will be hardship cases down the track unless the industry recognizes the challenge that is being presented to it. Doing what the FCA is asking is good. It's a starting point, but it's no way enough if you're looking to actually control the situation in terms of the downside that may be out there.
I guess that's part of the challenge, isn't it? Being able to model and communicate the risk associated with income drawdowns, because that provides enough challenges in itself. You know, it sounds on paper, you'd think, well, that sounds fairly easy. You know, we know what the return is and you have to take an amount out. But, you know, we know from our experience in modelling drawdown over the years that it's far from straightforward.
Well, I mean, there's some notable cases, which we don't need to go into here, of people that started drawing income back in, you know, 2007, 2006, 2007. Got hit by the financial crisis, and in 2010-11 were complaining very vociferously and being compensated for the losses that they had experienced, because combination of things, the income that they were taking was too high in relation to the fund that they were invested in, and secondly, they got hit by the dreaded thing called sequencing risk, which is if you get off to a bad start with a run of bad returns, it gobbles up your fund in very short order.
Yeah, I guess that's one key point in if you're wanting to try and forecast these, you know, income drawdown, consumers and income drawdown, or determine, create, design an investment that's appropriate for income drawdown. You need to take this sequencing risk into account.
Yeah, I mean, basically, I think what we're saying is that people need to understand the risks.
Yes.
And they need to understand what level of income can be supported by a particular investment. And furthermore, they need to be provided with decent ongoing monitoring of that of the progress of their fund so that they can make informed decisions. If they choose to ignore that, that's their lookout. But if they're not given that information, I think the case will come back to haunt product providers because it wasn't made available to them.
Yeah.
And I think Pathways is a start, but if all the industry does is say, well, this is a sort of tick box exercise, we've got to get this done by the 1st of August.
Yeah,
gosh, got it done, that's the end of it. I think we're in for trouble.
Yeah, I think you're right. Well, do join us next time where we'll be discussing the difficulties of using drawdown to provide an income for life.
Tim, we'll be discussing how easy it could be if you just use eValue.
All right, yes, I stand corrected. The ease in using eValue to provide good forecasts and good investments to help people provide an income for life. Well, thanks for joining us. And if you have any questions, please submit them to us, and we'll love to pick them up on the next episode. Mm-hmm.